podcast viewfinder.
Anyone can be your father. Not everyone has the patience and endurance to be a dad. Hey, everybody, I'm Chris.
And I'm James.
And I'm Luke.
Special guest today, Luke is with us. Luke started listening to podcasts sort of recently. He is James's brother by default. I was going to say by marriage.
I was born James's brother.
You're actually his brother.
If that's what you're trying to get at.
So, hey, I hope everybody had a Merry Christmas. This is the show in between Christmas and New Year's. So, do you guys do New Year's resolutions?
No. I mean, I don't tell anybody about it. I keep it to myself.
So you don't say...
Why would I tell somebody? If I fail, then they can hold me accountable. I don't want that.
No accountability. So, Luke, you're already perfect, so you don't need...
No, I'm not perfect, but don't pin that on me already, okay? I might say that on occasion, and that's true at the time, but...
only true at the time.
I don't tell people my New Year's resolutions because people are going to steal them. I want my New Year's resolutions to be mine.
Gotta be unique.
I want to lose 25.6 pounds. If someone else says, I want to lose 25.6 pounds, I'm going to be mad.
You're like, that was mine.
That was mine. And then everyone's going to be clapping when he does it, and I do it. And they're like,
they don't want to share that glory.
So, James, do you have any resolutions for the podcast? Anything you want to see happen with the podcast?
I want to see us at the 2 billion mark.
Yeah, I would love that. No, I would like 500 listeners per month. So we're
you're setting the bar low.
We set the bar low a long time ago.
I thought.
No, we have not per month. So we have overall. So we've had 1,239 unique people listen to the podcast, which is kind of that's a pretty big deal, I think. But like our average numbers per month, we have about maybe between 200. But 150 and 200 that listen. So I want to up that for our listeners per month. I don't know how to do that, but I think we're going to start
advertising.
We're going to advertise, and then I want to Periscope it. We did that last week, and I got one of our fans.
Four people
said, "Hey, thanks for doing that." No, we had a lot actually, but
four at a time.
I don't know. So yeah, I want to do some of that. I have been on running regimen.
What is Periscoping?
Periscope.
Forgive me. Okay.
Luke doesn't have Twitter.
I don't own Twitter.
That's good.
For Twitter followers, you live stream.
Basically, you can watch his face.
Yeah, so I could now go.
Why would anyone want to watch your face?
I could go on my phone and just click a button and then we live stream it from Periscope. And then it shows up on Twitter and then people join in. They're like, oh, I want to listen. I want to watch.
This is what's wrong with society, guys. Periscoping. Yeah.
All right, thank you. Guys,
so we're going to go into new markets. That's what you want to do.
This podcast is about worldview. That's why it's called Viewfinder, because we want you to develop a worldview. We come from a biblical worldview standpoint. Some of us. I don't know about Luke. I'm just kidding.
I got in trouble for using the word Christian worldview recently.
When? With who?
It was between you and me. I said Christian worldview, and you're like, oh, that's wrong. It's biblical worldview.
I don't think I would say that.
And I was confused.
I said it.
I think it's more of a Christian worldview, because biblical is more encompassing, whereas Christian narrows it down. It's like Christian marriage versus biblical marriage.
Yeah, but I would say Christian worldview, when people hear that, they're like, okay, well, they hate these type of people. They only vote Republican.
Fine,
New Testament worldview. So, yeah, I would say,
So you're just worried about people's perception, even if their perception is wrong.
Right. But if you say Christian worldview, people they're like, okay, then they already put you in this box of you view these things this way. So you're going to be closed-minded to stuff. You're going to be kind of rude. Unfortunately, that's how...
And that's why you correct them.
Christians, I'm going to put that in quotes, have made people view them that way. So that's why, I tend to say biblical worldview, or I say Christ follower instead of Christian to describe myself. Because, so this podcast is about worldview. Just because we talk about something on here doesn't mean we'll recommend it and make it like, hey, this is something we want you to go see or listen to or whatever. But I'm going to make some recommendations today.
I will not make any recommendations.
Yeah, you are. You're going to tell us about a show that you like.
Won't recommend it, though.
Okay, you can just tell us about it. All right, so New Year's is coming up, and... That's when everybody makes commitments and they're like, oh, we're going to do this. But hardly anybody keeps those. Why do you think that is? Does that have to do with worldview?
I think it's more to do with goals and goal orientation.
And they just do a bad job of making goals?
They make one long-term goal but they don't make short-term goals in between. There's no progress. It's like, okay, I'm going to lose 50 pounds in 1 year, but that's it. You're like, oh, I got a month to do it when it's December, and you're like, oh, man, yeah, it's December. There's no way. But if you're like, okay, instead of losing 50 pounds in 1 year, I'm going to lose 5 pounds in a month. And then if you do that, you're like, okay, next month, I'm going to go for 5 pounds. You shorten it. You can even shorten it. You're going to go like, I'm going to lose a pound in 3 weeks. I don't know. I'm not a weight loss specialist. I don't know what's healthy.
And if you own a Wii, you have the Wii Fit board?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can set those goals on your Wii U or Wii.
So that's the problem with New Year's resolutions. It's like, I'm going to do people something don't. Amazing, yeah. But I don't have any path towards that amazing goal.
So people don't reach it.
That's good. So what's that? SMART goals? Specific, measurable, mm-hmm.
realistic. Attainable.
Realistic and touching. Oh, you're going to lose 5 pounds in a month?
Brilliant. It's got to be something that it's not like I'm going to make a lot of money because people are going to be like, what? I don't care if you make a lot of money. It's going to be like, I'm going to help save the world
through
time bound.
Through dance.
Time bound for tea.
Time bound, yeah. So, yeah, so there's like, okay. Yeah.
Oh, that was an acronym. Yeah. I just thought you were making something up.
No.
You didn't know that?
It's a real thing. So SMART goals.
SMART goals.
So specific, right? Measurable.
Wait.
Attainable. I think some of those mean the same things.
No.
What are they?
Okay.
Specific. So if you're going to set New Year's resolutions, you got to do this.
Specific, right?
Specific. So you got to be specific.
That's narrow. Measurable, meaning you can measure your progress.
Right. So the
achievable, meaning you can actually do it. So you want to be an
attainable,
NBA player?
Achievable. Yeah.
Then what's R?
Realistic.
That's achievable at the same time. What? Realism and.
But no, not quite. I think those are still different words.
Well,
because they're obviously different.
They are different words, yes. James. Good job. Okay. Realistic, and then what? And T is time oriented.
Time. Bound.
Time bound. So
time bound. Well, they need a B now. Because it's time bound.
Time
bound
is hyphenated.
Well, something might be achievable, but something might not be realistic. Like, yeah, you can do that, Luke. You could be a really good
pianist.
So, can
something be realistic, but not achievable? I think so. I think we're on to something, James. I think you're right. Because some things can be realistic, but unachievable.
Yeah. The achievable.
I just can't think of a single thing.
No, the achievable thing is. I was thinking the achievable thing is the harder thing. It's like the grand goal you could have. Yes, you can achieve that.
No, that's not achievable.
No, the realistic thing is, will you really do this? Like, yeah, Chris could lose. So you, how many pounds? 100 pounds. But is that realistic?
Then I weigh negative 5 pounds.
Wait, what?
Just kidding. Those of you that don't know me, I'm a fat guy. Okay, so.
Negative mass is pretty interesting.
We don't like
We should talk about that.
No. Wait a minute.
Hey, so in October, I started a half marathon training program. All right, so I just started week 10 this week. I ran today, actually. 2.26 miles, I think, in 30 minutes. So.
It's pretty good, better than me.
I set that goal. And
you're the only one to do it.
Yeah, the people that started it with me, there were two others that started. Both of them have fallen off. One is doing other stuff. One says he's going to get back on, but we'll see. But it's been, achievable. So is it realistic for me to run a half marathon? At the beginning of this, no. Is it now? Probably not. But I can achieve it. It's achievable, but it's going to take a long time to get there. So it's a realistic goal.
Well, what's the time frame of running the half marathon?
So everything has to work it has to all work together. Oh. Every single one of these has to, you can't be like, well, it's achievable, but it's not realistic because of my time bound thing. So all of them are interconnected.
It's also very specific. You forgot about that part.
Yes.
You want to run a half marathon.
13.1 miles.
13.1 miles. You know the first guy to run a marathon died after it?
No.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it wasn't actually a marathon at the time. It's called a marathon because he ran that distance to somewhere and to tell people they won a battle, and then he died.
I did not know that. So he ran 26.2 miles. I was always wondering why, like, how they came up with that.
He ran to say, hey, guys, we won, and then he died.
Wait, but then did they go back like, hey, how far did he actually run? And then
he ran from one location to marathon. I think the place he ran to
marathon
was called marathon.
And they're like, hey, this is 26.2 miles. let's start a race with it.
But he died. That's the, no one thought, hey, let's give him some water. He's just like,
well, that could happen to me, actually. So,
but think about it. People do that all the time now.
But and they don't die.
Yeah.
This guy was a professional soldier and he died.
I know. I'm worried about dying when I'm on the treadmill. So my goal.
Because the treadmill's bad or?
Because I'm just fat. Oh. I'm like, oh okay. Man, my heart's going to get
your
out
goal.
Yeah. So, but here it was, it's in small chunks. Like this is what like helped me because it's 3 times a week.
Yeah.
There's an extra bonus run, which I have yet to do.
Why would you ever call that a bonus?
If you feel like, yeah, like extra bonus workout, like, no, that's not a bonus.
What?
My bonus is I stay home and play 4 hours of Fallout 4.
It was from the Battle of Marathon. The guy ran from that place to Athens. He was a Greek messenger boy, apparently.
Oh, wait, so this was, I thought you meant the Civil War, like in America.
No.
Okay, this was a long time ago?
This was a longer time ago.
It was like 2 weeks ago.
No, this was not... Okay. This was a Civil War, I can't remember. I wasn't around, okay. So it doesn't matter. 1776...
Right. That's a revolution.
...was not the Civil War, guys.
1812.
This is not a history podcast.
Yeah, obviously, we need...
All right, keep going. All right, so he ran that distance and then died, and they're like, hey, let's name a race after him.
It was to commemorate him. Okay. I don't know his name. Definitely was a marathon.
Marathonius. So, he's Greek.
I think they named the race after him.
All right, so it started off, though, I would run, it was like 5-minute intervals.
Yeah.
You walk 4 minutes and run 1 minute.
Okay.
And you do that for 30 minutes. So I was like, okay, I can do that, right? Like,
yeah,
that's achievable.
Yes,
so
achievable.
I can do that.
And it's realistic.
And it's realistic. So I'm like, okay, I could do that. I didn't like it. But now, so today was walk 1 minute, run 9 minutes for 30 minutes.
And how's that going?
I kept a 5.0 pace.
That's three sets.
For my first 9 minutes. So I was like, I did it.
That's how you do it.
But then the last like few minutes, like 4.3 pace, I'm like barely making it. So
that's like me in piano practice. I'm a
now yours is a
little
different though.
Well, I started off like a month ago practicing for an hour a day.
Oh.
And now I'm up to 4 hours a day.
You really?
Yes.
4 hours
a day?
However, it's
a lot
in
of
sets.
Time there,
it's in two sets of 2 hours. Because I don't want to do too much at one time.
You want your fingers to fall off.
So, yeah.
So if you're setting New Year's resolutions, this isn't even part of what we're going to talk about today.
That's important. That's what we're doing.
Because I think these like shape your worldview, right? Because if I'm like, oh, I'm going to get healthier... Then I start to eat differently, which I haven't. So I haven't lost any weight
Yeah, I mean, I've been witness to some of the things you're eating.
Yeah, we go to Freddy's.
That's not a bad thing. I'm just saying I have witnessed the foods he is.
Yeah, and they're not healthy. So I've got to. I got to change that. Like that's one of the things I want to do.
Man.
So. Yeah. Oh, mute your phones, everybody.
Second time.
Man. What? That's the second time you looked at your phone.
It's the second time it's beeped.
So it's the second time you looked at your phone.
So, okay. So,
all right.
What are we talking about first? Star Wars?
No, we're still talking about
New
Year's.
Okay.
I thought we were done with New Year's.
It's a big deal. This is, like, the biggest event that's coming up for people.
It happens
week.
Two times a year, though.
Yeah, but
there's
this
the Chinese
is
New
Year.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's...
Which we celebrate now because I have a Chinese
kid.
Yeah.
We don't know.
My New Year's resolution is to eat fortune cookies and egg rolls on Chinese New Year. But
I watched The Office... last night, and they did an episode on New Year's resolutions, and it was funny because they're like, "Oh, these are things you want to actually do." So they just did weird things. One guy had vegetables.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so he's like, "All I have to do is eat vegetables once." Another guy's like a cartwheel.
Cartwheel's hard though.
And he's like, "I did it. I've achieved it." So at the end of the episode, he achieved it, but he didn't really do a real cartwheel.
It's New Year's,
but this is a big deal to people. So, because this is where we start, we restart. Why do New Year's resolutions happen anyway? Why is that mentality of I can restart?
Because it's a new. So 2015 is gone.
Yeah,
all the junk that I did in 2015, all the bad stuff.
But why do we block it out within a year? We're like, you know what? 2015 was a bad year. That's irrational, right?
What?
It's irrational to chunk it out because
if I say the whole entire year,
we're very irrational.
Yeah, people are irrational. That's all I have to say on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, because you say the whole year 2015 is a bad year. It's a bad year.
Because I didn't achieve all the things. But you could start at any point.
There's some good things that happened in 2016.
You could start at any point. I could start my New Year's resolution now, and I don't have to wait.
No, you can't start it now.
Yeah, it's not a new year.
It's a specific year.
I know, but they exist. They're dumb, okay?
You could say resolutions, but you can't say New Year's resolution.
New Year's resolution hold so much weight because that's when everybody joins the gym.
It's a new year.
I know, but why does it
hold any weight
in your
mind? It does in people's minds, though.
Why does it fail in your mind?
Yeah, they do in the first week, but because it's 2015, you're switching the number,
but it's irrational. It doesn't
make
sense.
Oh yeah, right.
Okay. Well, let me do an explanation.
So shouldn't we encourage people?
Every semester that I go to college, I sometimes go to college, guys. every semester that I go back, it's always the new semester. Last semester doesn't matter. This semester now matters. Instead of...
But your last semester does matter because if you failed it, you've got to take some of those classes.
I never take the classes again. I just forget they exist.
Okay.
I'm like, those classes never existed to begin with. microbiology, that class was awful. Haven't taken the class because it doesn't exist anymore.
Okay.
So that's how it is. The new semester is a new leaf. It's like you turn the page.
Yeah.
To use a cliche.
So should we do month resolutions instead of new month resolutions?
I mean, it depends on who you are.
Just resolution. Here we go. So here's an article. Big question. Are New Year's resolutions a good idea? This is from Marquette Education.
All right. Okay. Don't read the whole article.
Magazine posed this question to Dr. Ed Destaubin.
Okay, good.
Okay. So, yes, of course, it's a great idea to make New Year's resolutions. It is also a really bad idea. Bad, because so many of our resolutions are not maintained, and this may lead to various forms of self-loathing for some people.
Oh.
But New Year's resolutions are essentially goals, and these can also increase a person's well-being because they force us to consider what we value most, and they help us to structure our time.
That's good.
Unless because, look at what a person focuses for a New Year's resolution. So that's important to
them. That's what you value most, and that's your worldview. Because if I value looking good,
yeah, you said, hey,
then I'm gonna like lose weight and try to be healthy. So,
but yours is more or less looking good because you already look good. And
true. Yeah, just thanks, James. I'm smiling. Okay,
I'd have to disagree with that.
No. You don't think it looks good,
James? I'm a firm believer of being honest to people.
Jerks. Okay,
if the honesty hurts, well then.
All right, so set New Year's resolutions, but set them so you can obtain them. Smart. And as James says, he doesn't tell anybody, but you got to tell people. That I think that's what's helped me because my running group, like we text almost daily, and some of them text way too much. But and there's people in that group that are like, you don't need to be in here because you're not running. So we're trying to get them to run.
I totally agree with that because if you tell people, they can be like, hey, why didn't you do this today? You know, they can hold you accountable. When you fail to hold yourself
I just don't send him at all.
But the guy that stopped for 2 weeks, like, we reamed him on that, and he's like...
Is that Prince?
Yeah.
Whoa, you guys should keep it anonymous.
No, it was
maybe
somebody.
He was busy those 2 weeks.
He said he was cross-training.
What is cross-training?
I know!
I was cross-training on the couch.
Yeah, no, he was, like, using the elliptical machine. I've texted him that picture of Inigo Montoya and said, you keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means. Because he kept saying cross-training, and then the person that's in charge of our group that runs marathons was like, hey, here's what cross training really is.
It's what is cross training?
It's when you train in a sport that's not your own to like gain some of those skills that they have.
That's why I played basketball and soccer practice.
Yeah.
I was a wonder kid. No, I'm not joking. During winter soccer practice, it's more of conditioning. We used to play basketball instead of soccer in the gym.
And that's cross training. So you're.
And I was actually really good at it. I was better than most of the other soccer players, and I was thinking, why am I not playing basketball?
I'm going to play basketball.
And then I broke my knee.
Oh,
no, I never broke my knee. Okay. It was my ankle, and it wasn't broken. It was something completely different.
All right. Hey, so over break, do you go see movies on Christmas? Like, that's the thing people do. I went the day after Christmas. You guys see any movies, James?
Die Hard.
That's not, you can go see that.
Yeah, I saw The Gift. I didn't see any, like, in theaters.
Okay, what's The Gift?
It's got Jason Bateman and...
Oh, yeah.
We talked about it when it came out last
year. Yeah, was it weird? Was it good?
I mean, it's just a thriller about bullying, basically. Yeah. So don't be a bully. That's the moral of that story. And I watched the Maze Runner, the second one.
I haven't seen the second one yet. Okay.
I read the first book and watched the movie, but I haven't seen it.
It's
nothing like the book, because I went home and read about it, and I'm like, this is nothing to do with the book.
He read the book in less than 24 hours.
I know, I got on Wikipedia and read it in like 2 minutes.
That's what I do for like everything now. I'm like, I don't have time to read books.
I'm going on Wikipedia it.
Yeah.
That's the new Cliff Notes. Wikipedia.
And Wikipedia. Europa Report, I watched that.
Actually,
it's like a documentary style. About they go to Jupiter's moon.
They go to Europa.
Yeah.
A moon okay, so Jupiter. They don't. It's not.
It's not.
So it's a documentary style. So it's not a real documentary.
No, it's a low budget.
Nobody told me.
NASA. We landed on the moon.
Yeah. That's crazy. But yeah, nothing like amazing.
I liked Europa Report. I've seen it. And I like the part where the guy gets jettisoned out and he's gone forever because he saved someone else.
Spoiler alert.
Okay.
What about the guy who falls and dies?
All right.
I mean, did anyone come back alive? I'm pretty sure everyone dies.
No, spoiler, everybody died.
Everyone dies.
Space is hard. Dude, I'm pretty sure Elon Musk has said that.
That's not a quote.
Okay. But it's really dumb because space is the lack of things.
Yeah, so space is hard to do. Oh, it's hard to get people into space.
Space is hard to do.
Yes, space is hard.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like simple. Space is not a.
It's like a house.
House is hard to do. Like it's a place, right? Like you can't say
it's the lack of space.
Is a lack of place. Okay, I saw Daddy's Home. I want to talk about this for just a few minutes. So that quote from the beginning, the opening quote, anyone can be a father, not everyone has the patience and endurance to be a dad. So he's talking about, like, okay, anyone, or any male.
Who was obviously. It again?
It's Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg. So Will Ferrell is a stepdad to these two kids, and the dad decides to show back up and be in his kid's life again. And so it's just kind of there. Like trying to be the dominant male in the household, but Mark Wahlberg is like the better, like the typical male, right? Like the tough guy. He like the secret ops. We don't even know what he does. But he's like good looking. All the ladies like him. Like he's good at like building stuff. He's good at all the stuff that guys are typically like stereotypically
good at.
Yeah.
He's
so
good at dancing. I mean, he took up dancing just to.
Spite his neighbor. Yeah. He learned how to be a ballerina. All right, that was from the other guys.
Oh, that's a better movie.
So here's a couple things that were... So there's like a few... It's Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell. So there's going to be some sexual innuendo. Yeah, some crassness. There's going to be... Yeah, language. There's language. Kids cuss too. I don't like it when kids cuss. I don't like when anybody cuss, but especially kids. So they had like the little kids cussing at points. The overall message is actually really good because it's about the importance of fatherhood. And so, what?
So its themes were good?
Yeah, the themes.
That's the key, themes.
Yeah, because the worldview that it pushes is that like it's important that even if you're divorced, like the dad still has a role in the kids' lives, like the biological father, but also the importance of the stepdad in their life. Like, because Will Ferrell took it seriously and wasn't just like, okay, these are not my kids, I'm going to just do whatever. But he, like, made intentional, like, inroads into their lives to be able to speak truth into their life and have conversations with them. They're both, like, in elementary school. So, but it was great. That part of it I liked. And there's some funny moments, too. Most of which is in the previews. But...
Oh, that's always the worst.
I know. But
basically,
like,
I don't have to watch
it. I just watched the previews.
The end part, there was, like, a part at the end where they did something that, like... was hilarious. Like I laughed. My wife was like making a fool of herself. How loud she was laughing!
Really?
In the theater. Because that part was really funny. Because it was just like an unexpected something happened. It was good.
Did it have to do with the other guys?
No.
Oh well, I was just thinking someone jumped off and into the bushes.
There was something like
that's
that.
That's the greatest that scene in cinema history.
Where two main characters
aim for the bushes,
jump off a building. That was from the other guys, which I can't recommend that movie because there's a lot of crassness in that movie.
But it was funny.
But Daddy's Home, though, so it wasn't as funny as I thought it was going to be. There were funny parts in it. The end was funny, but I'd say like teenagers wouldn't really like this movie because it's more about. Like being a dad or fatherhood or like growing up and stuff. And so I would say kids, like, it's not going to be as funny to them as it would be to adults. So I would say I would recommend this to parents, but not to students. Because parents, there was one really awkward, weird scene where they go to an infertility doctor and just a real doctor would not do anything that this doctor did. It was very inappropriate. But it's like, oh, that was like the one uncomfortable scene.
Cringeworthy.
Cringeworthy.
Ooh, that's relevant. Mark one down for Luke.
Cringeworthy. What?
Yeah, that's the relevant word.
What does that mean?
I'm relevant.
Oh, okay. Good job being relevant. Yeah. So I thought it was good. I liked that it pushes fatherhood and the importance of not just like, oh yeah, I got a girl pregnant, but it's like, okay, the steps after that, like that's the important part. Like being a dad, being a father figure. So I liked it for that, but yeah, there's some...
I'm not gonna watch it.
Some crassness in it, but... But yeah, but the end was, like, there's a part that was just so funny, because they, I don't know, I don't want to spoil it, if you want to watch it, but yeah, we spoiled Star Wars last week, but Daddy's home, don't want to spoil that joke for you.
Did you put the spoiler warning?
No.
Oh.
There's no spoiler, we didn't say any spoilers. Okay, we're going to talk about Star Wars again real quick.
Alright.
So there's an article, admit it, Star Wars The Force Awakens stinks, and here's why. So this was by Michael Hiltzik. So, maybe minor spoilers in this. So we'll not say anything too big about it, but there's going to be...
might as well tune out.
Yeah, no, it's just going to be some minor things. So if you still haven't seen it yet...
what is wrong with you?
Yeah, I know, because it's already made a bazillion dollars. So, but he says, this guy says, is right for the LA Times, said, it's just bland. He said, like, it's pretty much, they take the old movie, the good ones, The New Hope, and just, like, kind of remade it. Like, there's some different characters, but pretty much, like, the plot points are the same. Like, everything's very similar. And he says it plays it too safe. Hmm. So he talks about all these blockbuster movies. He's like, they just play it safe. And so, I don't know. Did you guys agree with that? Like, did you think that it was just kind of... like, it didn't really push the genre very much forward.
It was a Star Wars movie, and that's what it set out to be. And that was enough for me. I didn't look for some big anything different. I want Star Wars to be Star Wars.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, okay, yeah, I didn't push the... I don't think it really did the universe forward that much. I mean, it follows some of the other things that have already been set up. I mean, it didn't give anything new that hasn't been touched on in one of the previous six.
What?
You think it did?
I mean, what do you mean by it didn't touch on anything new?
I mean, it didn't give anything new. There wasn't a new, like, the way it's already been done. Oh, the main character, the way that person's been set up. This, all these major scenes have already been done in previous Star Wars at some point.
Well, yeah. I mean, I would agree with that. One way, it's sort of a remake of A New Hope or Star Wars. But I don't think that means it stinks.
I didn't say it stinks. I think it's great.
No, I'm not saying you said it stinks. Come on. I'm saying the guy who made the article, I don't think it stinks. But, I mean, it's his opinion. He can say it stinks if it wants. If he didn't like it, he didn't like it. You can't force someone to like a movie.
Right. And you're going to have opinions. But he's saying there's a bigger issue with the film industry because this movie, he said, it's commonly said that the original Star Wars changed Hollywood, and that's true. But it didn't change it the way, this is this guy talking, Bonnie and Clyde, Chinatown, Taxi Driver did, by applying creative craftsmanship to raw adult subject matter, or like the 30s movies It Happened One Night, The Awful Truth, and Bring Up Baby, which undermined the moralistic structures of the Hayes Office and Libertine and Sophistication of Screwball Comedy. I don't know. Okay, but he said Star Wars transformed Hollywood economically by establishing a blockbuster mentality, and especially a mentality based on blockbusters made for teens. It wasn't the first film to do so, Jaws, but Star Wars outdrew Jaws, and the opportunities to exploit the product commercially were even greater. Because he said $5 billion that they bought it for, he's like, they're estimated to make that in merchandising alone in 2015. And Disney is a merchandising juggernaut.
So what he's really criticizing is that they're not trying to be any original, they're not trying to bring a new theme, something great. But I don't think that's a problem. I like the movie, I enjoyed it. I mean, sure, it's no movie that makes you go home and think, man,
yeah,
what am I doing with my life? Or, I don't know, some movies you watch and they sort of hit you and you're like, that was a great movie. It's making me think about things in my life. But not everyone wants to go do that. I don't want to go every Friday or maybe even once a month.
Yeah.
When I go to the movie theater,
you want to be entertained.
I want to be entertained. And if it has a background theme, that's good. But if I'm watching, like, for instance, a Will Ferrell movie, I watched Everything Must Go. That was...
Wait, what's that one?
It's about... He gets fired from his job because he was accused of doing something that he wasn't doing. And he's an alcoholic. And then he comes home and all his stuff is lawn. That movie, I didn't see it in theaters.
It's not really a comedy, though.
It's not. It's a dark comedy. And it really made me think about, like, just sort of... Like, it's about him changing. One, he gets over his alcoholism. He gets over his ex-wife.
Yeah.
And so it was one of those movies I wouldn't want to see in theaters.
Right.
But seeing it at home was great. Because, I mean, in the theaters, it's just... It just doesn't seem like... I don't
want
to...
Because theaters, you want, like, the big blockbuster. Yeah. And I said last week we saw it in the Royal Suite, and that had, like, that sound, like, shakes you when, like, there's TIE fighters flying by and explosions and stuff. Spoiler, there are TIE fighters in this movie.
The sound doesn't shake you. They have people underneath your chair shaking.
Yeah, you push the little call button, and they're like,
hey, I'll shake you.
During this scene, can you shake my chair?
Like, oh, okay.
So
it's like, I'll shake you.
But yeah, so this guy just, he said, because everybody's seeing it, this is going to reinforce, like, oh, we need to make more movies like this that are just going to be these blockbuster.
Well, it's like Avatar as well.
Yeah, he says that.
I was talking to the manager at the Showplace Cinemas East, and he's like, oh, I already saw Avatar. It was called Dances with Wolves. And I was like, oh, haven't seen either of them. So which one should I watch? Should I watch one that's newer and with, I don't know, blue people?
Or go watch The Last Samurai, because it's the same thing.
But The Last Samurai was not before Dances with Wolves.
Right.
That's an old movie.
It's before Avatar.
You say, oh, I saw Avatar. It was The Last Samurai. Or I saw The Last Samurai. It was Dances with Wolves. Oh, yeah. And that theme of I go in, I become one with these people, and then I like them. Like, yeah, it's like knowing your enemies.
Well, have you ever seen that like Mad Lib thing where this guy, he wrote like a story, like a synopsis, and he just took out some things? And then you can put like any character from any blockbuster. Like, you can put Harry Potter, you can put Luke Skywalker in there, and it's like, oh, that's the synopsis for the movie. You could put, he's like, look, you can bring out, for books and stuff, you can bring out and make it very generic and be like, a bad guy loses to a good guy. And then who's the good guy? It's this guy. But, I mean, it's the small things that really matter, the smaller things. It's like, okay.
So you're saying the story's always going to be somewhat the same, the overarching good guy versus bad guy.
Well, there's
obviously
a template. There's an archetype.
Yeah, yeah.
There's an archetype, and... Did Star Wars make a new archetype? No.
No.
Absolutely not. Is that a bad thing? I don't think it's ruining. I mean, it's good to critique it, though, because you're like, hey, this is a little too safe, but I know why you did it.
Look, so the Aragon books, have you ever read those?
I read the first one, and then I stopped reading.
Yeah, it was written like by like a 16 or 17-year-old kid, but he wrote, I think, four of them.
And I said the name wrong the entire time.
You said Aragon?
No, I said Aragon.
Aragorn, yeah.
But not with the A. I said with the A, R.
Oh, okay.
Like Aragorn. I said Aragorn. Oh, that's Aragorn. From Lord of the Rings.
But Aragorn, like, he wrote those books, and then later people were like, it's just Star Wars, but with dragons. And then I go back, and when I heard that, I was reading that first book. I was like, oh, then that means this character is going to die. This is going to happen. And then it did. I was like, oh, it really, like, he just took, like, the exact plot of Star Wars and just put it in medieval dragon times.
Well,
so,
yeah. Do you know who's really pushed limits, though? Although I've never read the books.
Christopher Nolan.
No, I never read the books.
A new film.
Was George R. R. Martin.
Oh.
He likes to kill off a lot of people.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the new thing. Develop a character someone likes, kill them off. And then they get mad and like, I like that character.
So, spoiler
alert. There's no main character not Lord of the Rings. Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
Like, I was thinking about it, I'm like, a lot of people are dying in that show. Who's the main character? And it's like, there is no main character.
But then if there's no main character, then you can't have good plots, though, right?
Yeah, you can't. Apparently, because people love that.
I've never seen it, but it's like...
we don't like to lose our main character, because we get attached to them. We're like, you cannot die. Or you can't leave a void. There always has to
be
somebody
who needs
to take over.
Where a main character died prematurely, and it was sort of weird. I can't
think So, spoiler alert, No Country for Old Men.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's like, it's like 20, 30 minutes before the end of the movie. Like, the main, you're like, what?
That was weird.
He just died.
Wow. But that's what made that movie good, was because he died. And his wife dies at the end, too, although they don't show it in the movie.
I don't remember that.
In the book, she dies. My brother was telling me all about it. And you can think about it, the main character wasn't that guy. It was the murderer, the guy who was, like, the Terminator.
Right. So 24 does that, though. 24, the TV show.
How many times does Jack Bauer die in that?
He died.
He doesn't die.
At least two.
He died at least two times.
Yeah, maybe more.
Two times.
He did. And they bring him back. They like shock him back to life. There's one. He like took a pill.
See, because
like,
they don't want.
You can't kill Jack Bauer. But
you can't kill the main character.
Okay, so about 24 season one, spoiler. So that show, the reason I like that show is because like you never know who good guys or bad guys are. People do die.
Jack
you're like,
a good
oh
guy.
Man,
Jack no, Bauer. Jack Bauer's the worst.
Jack
Bauer he's kills. Like, I'm going to torture this guy.
He murders.
But he is the main guy.
But Jack Bauer,
at the end of 24 season one, his wife dies. Like, you're not expecting that because you think he's going in to save her and you turn around and she's already dead and you're like, what? They just get, and then it ends like, and then the show's over and you're like, oh,
that's like the Dark Knight when Batman saves Harvey Dent.
The wrong
instead
person.
Of, no, not the wrong person. He saved the right person for the time because the girl wasn't going to save the city. Harvey Dent would have.
But he didn't mean to save Harvey Dent, though.
No, he wanted to save Harvey Dent. Remember, he was racing. He only had time to save one of them.
Yeah.
And he chose Harvey Dent. He knew where he was. He knew where they were.
Are you sure?
No. Yeah,
I thought Joker had switched it on him.
No.
Yeah.
No. Oh, so you're
saying that... He chose to save Harvey Dent.
No.
Yes.
No, he showed up and like he gets there like, Harvey.
No. Rachel.
No, Harvey Dent is mad that he's saving him. Because Harvey Dent thinks Batman will save Rachel. But Batman's thinking about the big picture here.
Ah, I'm gonna go back and watch this.
You gotta rewatch it. It reminds me of the ends justify the means type of. That's what Jack Bauer does.
So in 24, I like 24 because there's these moral dilemmas that you're like, I don't know what I would do in this situation because it's like, all right, am I gonna save my wife or am I gonna let 20 people die? So it's kind of that like, which one do I choose? So okay, I've got a little bit of a switch.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've got this new board game for Christmas called Dead of Winter.
Yeah, I know.
It's a zombie game. I got to talk about it last week a little bit. So I flipped through the cards, though, and it's like, there's adult themes on some of these cards, and they're marked with this little thing. There's like, because there's these cross-point cards, so you have a decision to make. And they're these kind of moral dilemmas. So I haven't looked through all of them, but I went through it, and I was like, okay, the ones that are like adult-themed, they're kind of dumb. They're like, oh, this guy drinks alcohol. And you're like, what?
50% more alcohol.
He drinks 50% more alcohol than a normal human. But so I went through and like looked at them because there's like only five or six of them in this stack of like probably 80. And they're like, I was like, one, why'd you even include these on there? And most of them were kind of like, I was like, that's not really adult theme. Like maybe if you're five. But one of them, though, was really interesting. And it was a person that had a baby. So you're in this post-apocalyptic zombie world. And so the person had a baby, and the babies cry, and they'll attract zombies. So they're like, this baby was abandoned, and then you come across this baby. So you're like, okay. But the two choices were, you keep the baby, and and lots of zombies show up, or you keep the baby, and then something else happens. I was like, wait, that doesn't really give me a dilemma. Like, I was like,
get the choice to not keep the baby?
Yeah, to like leave the baby there.
And that's not much of a dilemma.
I know, right? Because they're like, you keep the baby in both circumstances. I was like, wait, if they really wanted to create this moral dilemma. Now, it's a horrible thing, right? But you're like, what would I do in that situation? Like, I'm in the zombie apocalypse. I'm trying to like keep all these other people alive. And then do I abandon this life to keep all these others alive? Or do we, like, make it harder to get all this stuff done? So, welcome.
Another guest.
All right, so...
we had a special guest.
Real quick.
James's lady friend.
So, you know the video game, The Walking Dead, the point-and-click video game?
Yes.
They had something similar, like, at the end, spoiler, they find...
Wait, which one? Because I haven't played the second one.
Season one.
Okay.
Did you play that?
No. Okay. I've got season two.
Well, it's not that much of a spoiler.
Okay.
So they go to the group of people. I'm not going to say who it consists of.
All right, just go.
They go to the city, and they find this place called Crawford. And everyone's like, oh, Crawford's this horrible place. The people they find. And they're like, oh, why is Crawford horrible? And they're like, well, they kill off old people. They don't allow men. And they don't allow kids. And you're like, oh, well, that's horrible. But then at the same time, they're like, well, it makes sense because only the strong survive in that scenario, and old people and kids aren't strong enough.
Yeah.
So, like, you can't have kids. That was one of the rules, is no one can have kids. And when you get old, you're gone. So,
if you want to live there.
They did find, like, a whole bunch of old people. That was a weird part of the
game. That was Malford. And they were just walking around the mall. Mall walking.
Well, zombies. I always hate zombies.
I love zombies.
You can now walk a zombie.
You need to watch the
a bunch of them.
Shows where they can run.
Okay, those are called infected, one.
But it doesn't matter.
What was that new movie called that came out?
You're going to run away from them. No matter
zombies versus plants.
Plants versus zombies?
That's a game.
What was the movie? World War Z. They were infected.
They were
an infection, not a zombie.
Yeah, so they acted like zombies, but they were infected.
It's like the 28 Days Later, infection.
Mackenzie Ryan, welcome to the show.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
Hey, welcome. So have you seen Star Wars?
I have seen Star Wars.
Did you like Star Wars?
I did like Star Wars.
Okay. So we just talked about an article, The Force Awakens Sinks and Here's Why, and he just says it's kind of, it doesn't really push the genre forward, it doesn't do anything in movies, but as we said, like, that's not what we're looking for in a Star Wars movie. We want to be entertained. We want to see droids. We want to see people blow up. I thought this one was a little more violent than some of the old ones. Like, they shot and stabbed people a lot in this one.
Well, definitely more violent than the original.
Yeah.
The original were never that violent.
I went back and watched the New Hope. I fell asleep in most of them.
You're bored.
I wasn't bored. I was just tired. So, all right. But this, like, has gotten really good reviews. And a guy wrote a review saying he didn't like it. Not the article we just read, but it was a guy. His name was Andrew O'Hare.
Yeah.
O apostrophe H E H I R.
You don't have to explain it to me. So, we get it.
Yeah. Well, I'm spelling it because if people look it up, I don't know. So he wrote this negative review about it, but then like somebody got really mad at him. Like a fan was like, here's the fan's response. He said, "Dear Mr. O'Hare, please just die like Roger Ebert did and leave us alone." So that guy was so angry at this guy's review that he like tells him to die.
Yeah.
And the guy's response was, "Well, he's from Canada, and so he's not actually going to kill me. For one thing, he's Canadian, so if he owns a gun, it's his grandpa's single shot hunting rifle." But he's like, the thing is, he felt angry enough about a movie review that he had a total stranger to go and die. And then for good measure, threw in a drive-by assault against the most beloved figure in internet history, Roger Ebert. I don't know if he's
He's a critic.
Yeah, one of the best critics. So, but he says, but still, why is it important to fans of a hugely popular movie, which has already dominated the entertainment media for weeks and will surely wind up among the top grossing releases of all time, that no one disagrees with them or adopts a more detached perspective? So, is it okay to have differing? I guess it's okay to have differing views of stuff.
But why are we so... I mean, even if we say it's okay, I still feel a little bit like you're wrong. Because you have a different view.
I don't think he's wrong, and I'm actually glad he disagrees. If you don't know
me... in general, if I held something strongly enough, even if I say, okay, it's okay that you have one, I'm still going to like think of you as less.
Whoa, you need to rethink your...
No, I'm just saying, that's natural.
I understand, but you need to get over that. You need to be like... Just because someone disagrees with me doesn't mean they are horrible people.
Right.
If you guys don't know me, you probably don't. I am a contrarian. If you bring up an idea, even if I agree with your idea, if you bring it up to me, I will be like, oh, how about this idea? How about the opposite?
The devil's advocate.
I don't have Luke on the show here.
No, I am the devil's advocate. I didn't want to use that word because...
it's got a negative connotation.
Because advocate.
Because, do you know the history of the Devil's Advocate?
I don't.
I do, but we don't have time.
Okay.
We learned the history of the marathon.
So this guy brings up a new thought. He's like, guys, hold on. Instead of, you know, let's all praise this movie, what about the problems with it? And it does have problems. And the things he brings up, I agree with.
Well,
I agree with
O'Hare
what
was different
says about the critique of the movie, but that doesn't mean I think it's a bad movie.
Yeah.
I think it's lacking. I don't think it's innovative. I think it's a remake of The New Hope, but I liked it, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I think we want to people to like what we like, and when they don't, we feel like, okay, either they're wrong or I'm wrong, which is what you were saying. So,
and I'm obviously not wrong because I feel this way about this. Yeah. And why should I doubt my feelings? So you are wrong. And but then you also start making, I think you start making moral judgments. Not only are you wrong in this sense, but you're bad.
You're a horrible person.
Like, yeah, I look at you that guy being, tells him to die.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, he has such a low view of this person now. Based off of one thing, I see you as a negative in the universe, so stop existing.
So if you don't like what I like, then I want you to die or not tell me that.
You know, I bet that guy just went and talked to all his friends who love Star Wars and just, like, guys, tell me how great Star Wars is right now. After he read that, he called someone up. He's like, someone just told me Star Wars is bad. Tell me Star Wars is good. Because when you get yourself into a bubble where everyone agrees with you, then you're just going to be, you're never going to be innovative. Unless someone disagrees, you're just going to do the same thing, and then you're going to reach mediocrity, and you're going to be...
Mediocrity.
Consensus is the road to mediocrity. That's how...
Yeah, so if everybody just agreed on the same thing, and I think that's what the other article was saying about... He's saying these movies are mediocre, but everybody loves them, so they're going to keep making mediocre movies because everybody goes and sees them. But I don't think they're... But there's a lot of people that say that's not mediocre, it's a good movie. So,
but his idea of mediocre might be different than my idea. Yeah. Like, I can be like, okay, it was well done in all of these areas. Like, that shot was good. The acting was good. All these things are good. Now, if he's just judging it by mediocrity because it's nothing new, then sure, under that term, it works. But under, like, from a cinematography standpoint, and from even falling in line with Star Wars itself, being true to that, I think it fulfills all that.
Well, let's tie it into something else called a video game called Black Ops 3, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it's going to get... Or it got 9 out of 10.
It got great reviews.
It got great reviews. But someone out there is going to give it a 4 out of 10, being like, I have Black Ops 2, and I don't see a real difference. I mean, the game itself, if you ignore all of its predecessors, and you look at the game itself, it's like, look, this game is technically great. It plays well. Call of Duty has always had good mechanics and good gameplay. But I played this last year. I don't need another $60 purchase. And there's nothing new. But the game itself, without looking by itself, it's a good game. It's a great game. But when you compare it to the market where it's oversaturated, there's nothing new. I mean, it's really hard to make a new video game that's... breaking out, like, oh my gosh, that's why it doesn't happen. It's not like there's another Doom. It's like when Doom first came out, every first person shooter that was released after that was called a Doom clone.
Yeah.
But now everything's a Call of Duty clone.
Yeah. Because when you reach that formula, you're like, so Call of Duty, I would say I'm not going to buy that game.
Yeah.
I used to buy it a long time ago.
The last Call of Duty I actually played, like, a lot was. Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare.
Yeah, Modern Warfare is good.
The first time I played that, I was like, this game is going to reshape.
And it did. And
I was like, this is terrible. My character died in Modern Warfare 2 in the first 5 seconds. I was like, what?
Yeah, look, a main character
killed. And Modern Warfare 3, character. I heard they actually kill off the player instead of the character.
the bullets come out of your TV.
So, Mackenzie, what do you think about this, though?
What do you think about Modern Warfare?
I mean, you don't have to talk about them.
Not Modern Warfare, but Star Wars.
The guy's reaction and fans. And
when people, like, disagree with you, do you get mad at them? Or are you like, okay, whatever, you have your opinion?
Well, I try to see just where they're coming from, maybe. I try to see their perspective. So, for instance...
Dances with Wolves? That's what that movie's about. Okay, go ahead.
Empathize. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah, okay. Well, so
Star Wars, I don't really... You know, I went and saw it. I thought it was a good movie. I didn't really have any feelings or emotions.
Okay. Yeah.
But, like, whenever it comes to something, for instance, where I am really passionate about it, and it's connected to me in an emotional way, then I have a stronger reaction to it. However, if I am... stepping outside of my feelings and being like, well, this person feels this way or has this perspective for a reason, then that gives me a viable way to see them as who they are, but also to empathize with the person. And not say I'm going to kill them.
Andy Stanley talks about
that. You should never say you're going to kill someone. He's like, pro tip of the week. Never say you're going to kill anyone. It's a bad thing.
Even in jest. But Andy Stanley talks about that. He's like, if somebody has a different viewpoint from me, he's like, because he's talking about, because he has a biblical worldview. He's like, if their worldview is so different than mine, he's like, I want to get to know that person and figure out, like, where, like, how they came, how did they come to think like that? So, Mackenzie, good advice.
So, it's like, have you ever heard of the social media bubble where everyone on your social media is like, on Facebook, if someone posts something you don't like and then you get in an argument and you're like, I'm going to defriend them. And then eventually all your friends are just people that post things that you would post and that you would agree with because you have one by one. Eliminated all the people
you disagree with. Facebook works now to where it limits who it shows. It shows certain.
I don't have Facebook.
I mean, I have over 1,000 friends on Facebook, right?
Brad.
Wait. How many of them do you see on a monthly basis?
It doesn't matter. Yes, it just does people, matter. I know. I don't consider all of them my friends.
Why are they your friends? Facebook should have an acquaintance.
It's because in high school, that's what everybody did. They're like, oh, let's be friends.
Spoiler alert, James Hunt doesn't think you're his friend.
No, I don't. but with that, if I look on my newsfeed, only certain people will show up. There's always a consistent certain people, and people I've interacted with, and usually, and they've I think even said this to where they try to aggregate, right?
I don't know.
Is that the word?
Aggregate and demand.
And they try to put where because they don't want you to be like getting feeds where you're going to disagree with all these people, so they'll probably take that person out of your feed. And so they surround you with people who you're like.
But what if they are trying to make you mad?
So aggregate means a whole formed by combining several elements. Whole, W-H-O-L-E, not
aggregate.
Word of the week.
Aggregate.
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 Yeah.
It's like an aggregate review.
I used it right.
I know. I'm just like, I'm looking up because you're just using words you don't know. So I'm saying, hey, you use that word right.
No, it's just
the correct word.
Okay. Bringing it all in together. All right.
So social media, though, that's the place where, like, arguments happen. You're like, this is so dumb.
That's
like,
why I don't have social media. Because I have no friends, except for maybe one. It's like the time when I told Chris, I only have one friend at any given time. And so when that friend dies, I get to place the mantle on a new person.
Oh, I got something on social media. This is relevant. Six ways social media is ruining our friendships. Number one, it creates a false sense of intimacy.
Yes. All right.
Lasting relationships are built on far more than a Facebook history. They're forged in the fire of life's peaks and valleys.
Wow, that's a...
You don't have to read the...
It fosters illusions of community.
Oh.
It misleads us to believe that we're part of a larger support system. It keeps us from being fully known.
I don't quite understand.
You have virtual walls.
No, because if I post a picture of my kids, it's usually them like having a good time. Or like I post selfies.
No, normally you post pictures of your kids falling in the snow.
That one's hilarious. But
I post the most embarrassing stuff of my family.
Yeah, but of yourself, usually.
Look, are you even on Facebook?
No,
I'm not on Facebook.
Not on anything.
If you want, you can tweet me at Twitter.
at Twitter.com, right?
At
Luke at Twitter.
At James Helms' brother at Twitter.
That's not real. That won't come up at all.
But you post like what's good in life and rarely.
I mean,
like,
look at my epic moments, my Christmas moments. Now, some people will post the bad things.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, my friend is terrible.
Sex you never want to talk to.
Facebook is like the highlight reel of your life.
Yeah.
All right, it turns us inward. So social media keeps us living in a vacuum.
Because we want people to like our stuff, to favorite
and space
it, tweet
is a vacuum,
it, retweet it.
And space is hard.
Space is hard.
Therefore, social media is hard.
Okay.
It sets unrealistic expectations. Social media sets a standard no human could ever achieve.
So it's definitely not smart.
The last one is it makes us good at storytelling, but not so good at story living. Social media memorializes our moments while life passes us by. Mm-hmm. So I got to get this pic. And I've got to capture it. Otherwise, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
It's not on Instagram.
I criticize James on that every time we go eat or every time we do anything. He's always trying to take pictures. I'm like...
But that's my job.
What do you mean?
No, I'm a photographer.
Oh, yeah.
But you haven't charged a single person.
I work on generosity, but that's changing.
No. Okay, what I'm just trying to say is that's why
$200
I don't ever take pictures, because I'm always like, I just want to enjoy the moment, and taking a picture pulls me out of the moment.
It does. It does.
That's why I never take pictures of my food. I don't know why people do that.
Because if I'm eating some delicious, I want you to be jealous of what I'm eating. Like,
but I can't taste it.
Dude, that hamburger looks so good.
Basically, he wants you to be jealous of his whole life. I mean, that's what your Instagram account, if you look at the best ones, you're like, man, I wish I had that person's life. Theirs is amazing. Mine's terrible.
Insta-me at Instagram.
Insta-me at Instagram.
I don't know what Instagram is. Instagram doesn't... Have you ever heard of...
And videos.
So, wait, Megan... Oh, good.
So, I was listening to another podcast called This American Life. I don't know. Maybe you guys...
No.
I don't know. There's NPR. There's other podcasts. I thought we were the only one.
I would actually endorse this because it is an NPR podcast. Oh. So, they do play on NPR. So, they are censored if they have anything. Most times, they don't. And they have to... If they ever have any language and stuff, they always bleep it out because they can't control the people they interview. But... On one of them, they were interviewing these high school girls, like freshmen, and they're telling them about how they take selfies, and they post them on Instagram, and then they're like, you're obligated, if you're a friend to that person, to say, oh, you look so great.
Right, yeah.
And I was like, that blew my mind. I was like, what do you mean? If the person doesn't look good, you tell them. So if anyone was to tell me, hey, how do I look today, and you don't look good to me, I'll be like, You're lacking. But they're like, you are obligated as a friend to this girl to say, oh, you look amazing, or OMG, or whatever they say. And they even went in further, and they're like, what they say actually matters more. Because they're like, if they say something weird, or if someone else posts, you're like, oh my gosh, you look so good, I hate you. That is one of them. That's like, what are they really saying? And they like,
really hate them, or they're like,
and it got so crazy. I'm like, you guys just... Get off Instagram. It's bad for you.
Okay, so Megan Fox says, social media is really toxic for our youth culture. There's a hierarchy in schools of who's the cool kid based on who has the most followers and who has the most likes. It's a really terrible message to wake up every day and have your kids going, who liked my photo and who's following me? So this was Megan Fox in an interview with New York Daily News. But she says this.
Who's Megan Fox again?
Megan Fox. She's
from Transformers.
Transformers.
Oh, she fell off the map.
Yeah, big thumbs.
Yeah, so...
Big thumbs?
But she said...
Yeah, something like that.
James is always so, you know...
But no, that's the thing.
She said she was on Twitter for 5 days and she had 12 and 13-year-olds tell her they planned to kill themselves if she didn't follow them.
Wow.
She believes parents should keep their kids away from social media if at all possible. You're not ready for this stuff when you're a teenager, she says. You need to be an adult before you can start messing around with that. It's irresponsible and it's dangerous. Yeah. And Adele said the same thing. She's off social media because she's like... How am I supposed to write another real record if I'm waiting for a 500,000 people
to like my
photo?
Holy.
It's like if
that ain't real.
If I get 1,000 likes, this kid, Jesus will save this kid, and then it's only 99, and it's like, well,
wow, those things are so annoying.
Guess you I can't love save Jesus. This kid.
You better say
Jesus is just sitting and he's like looking on Facebook, all the likes, and he's like 99 likes.
Not enough.
I'm gonna have to give cancer to this kid. Well, it's like when Jesus asked John to come fourth, and he'll have eternal life. But John came fifth, so he got a free coaster.
All right, I'll go back to the things that like we like, and we don't want people to dislike them or tell us that those things are wrong.
Yeah.
So the Concussion movie came out.
Okay.
It hit. It was number 8. It launched this week, number 8. Daddy's Home got number 2.
Yeah, sorry,
Star Wars. Star Wars still blew everybody out of the water with $149 million. Daddy's Home got second. Joy got third, which I hadn't really heard much of that movie.
What is Joy?
Jennifer Lawrence movie.
Jennifer Lawrence movie. It looks decent. But Concussion got 8th. But Concussion is that Will Smith movie about the doctor who figured out that repeated brain trauma from football like causes permanent brain damage, and I think it's about like this guy that goes crazy in his later years because he was, or not even that late. He was like 50. But he, like, because of all the mental brain damage, like, he went crazy at the end of his life and, like, killed somebody or something. So, but it said, so in this article from the New York Times, it says that over the past 2 decades, it's become clear that repetitive blows to the head in high-impact contact sports like football, ice hockey, mixed martial arts, and boxing place athletes at risk of permanent brain damage. Why, then, do we continue to intentionally expose our children to this risk? So... That's interesting, right? Because it's stuff that we like, but we're like, yeah, oh, I don't want to look at the bad of it.
Well,
I don't look at the negative.
It's like, I would never, I sometimes watch football. I actually hate football.
Okay.
Because of, I think it's just not that great. But,
okay.
Get out! I would never, ever, if any of my kids wanted to play football, I don't care who they were, if they were Muhammad Ali, I don't know, is that football?
Yeah, that's a boxer.
And if they wanted to be a boxer. And
they're Peyton Manning, okay.
I would not allow it, because it's so dangerous. It's like,
yeah.
What about soccer?
Soccer is a little bit less dangerous, James.
You use your head.
However, I do agree with the recent ruling of the MLG major or something.
Major League.
It was
soccer.
North America Soccer, where they said that kids cannot head the ball until they're like 15 because they don't know the proper way of heading the ball, and it will cause brain damage if you don't do it properly.
Oh, that's good.
That is
because
so referees can kick them out of the game.
So I didn't see the movie, but yeah, but it's just about like them saying no, you can't tell people this because like in the preview,
it'll affect everything.
Yeah, in the preview it says like you're going against somebody that owns a day of the week, like NFL owns Sunday, right? Like somebody.
Well,
like, Monday.
Sports own family life now, right? I mean, that's the big thing.
What?
Sports owns the family life.
Yeah.
I can look at that in my nieces and nephews' lives. Like, they all play. That owns them.
Yeah, you spend a ton of time at sports, and if you're going to tell me, oh, my kid can't do this, but they're good at it, or, yeah, it's like, okay, oh, that's a good point. Am I going to let my kids play football if they want to? Or
No.
I was going to get Quincy into mixed martial arts, so maybe not.
Well, that's not boxing, is it?
Why not Sonny?
Well, boxing and mixed martial arts is you can kick while boxing.
Well, is it professional? Because
yeah, mixed martial arts, MMA.
Yeah, but like amateur, they use
headgear.
Still, football players use headgear.
Yeah, you know.
Well, I'm talking about if you want your kid to learn mixed martial arts, she's not going to be kicking people in the head, which you should do.
Eventually, she will. Have you not seen the UFC?
Well, if she goes into UFC.
Yeah.
Did you hear Ronda Rousey lost?
Yeah. Like, yo, dude, she got kneed in the face.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys talked about it, but
I don't know.
I watched the clip,
so
I'm relevant.
That's amazing.
Relevant part two. All right, hey, this has been another exciting. Yeah, it goes by
you
fast.
You squandered another hour.
Oh, that's from Car Talk.
I love that podcast. I will endorse Car Talk. It is a
one of them died, right?
Yeah, he died. They stopped doing it like 3 years ago.
They're really old.
Because he had Alzheimer's, so he couldn't do it anymore. So
Car Talk's great.
Well, he's dead now. But
yeah. But that is a very
good
show.
You can
go
watch reruns. It's still relevant.
All right. Like 20 years of reruns if you want to listen to it.
They talk about old cars. It's my 1942 or old Ford Taurus.
It's great because sometimes they don't even talk about cars. It's so great.
Hey, yeah, they're funny. Okay. Hey, you've squandered another hour. This is a podcast Viewfinder. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Chris.
And I'm James.
Kenzie.
I'm Luke. Oh, wait. I wanted to endorse something.
Oh, wait. Yeah.
I already endorsed like four things.
Yeah,
but if you guys like anime and you like cartoons anime, you should watch One Punch Man on Hulu.
One Punch Man.
It's about a One Punch Man. It's about a guy who is so powerful that he beats everyone in one punch. He doesn't kill humans though, only monsters. That's one thing, and I think it's pretty appropriate.
So
it's subtitles. So if you
that's
don't
the
like
best.
Subtitles,
that's the best anime. You can't
subs
watch
subs before English. Dubs.
Yeah,
whatever.
Subs before dubs. All right. Hey, have a safe and happy New Year. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in 2016. Oh
yeah,
we'll see you next year.
We'll have to have the 2015 review.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Oh
yeah,
the World Viewfinders. I can't remember.
Viewfinder. Yeah, I said the wrong name on here.
I'm surprised you guys got past 10.
I know. This is episode 39. So thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
New Year's magic.
Podcast Viewfinder.